is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman. Right now, Cincinnati has a strong mayor, but there are discussions about changing that to an executive mayor. Councilmember Christopher Smitherman has been exploring the idea, and he joins me to talk about the proposal. You can join our conversation. The number is 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up in 20 minutes, I'll be talking with Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley about his first 5 months in office. But first, we're going to talk about this idea of maybe creating an executive mayor in the city. And Councilmember Smitherman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jay, for having me on. Glad to be with you.
You told the Enquirer for an article that they published in February that the current system is broken. Why is it broken?
I think it's, one, it's unclear, Jay, where the buck stops at City Hall right now. So we have a government structure that is centered around a city manager form of government in the strong mayor system that we had. And when something is happening at City Hall, Jay, it's real easy for the politicians to all point to the city manager as being the problem and hide behind, quite frankly, the city manager. So I think moving the mayor to the executive role so that all citizens know when they elect the mayor, they know where the buck stops, would bring clarity. And then for the legislative body, currently the mayor presides over the legislative process, has pocket veto power, meaning council members who introduce legislation, the mayor has full power of referral. And I think that that is confusing for the government. And I think it's important to move the mayor out of the legislative process totally so that the council organizes itself, elects a president internally, which is part of the concept. The mayor really doesn't participate, hires their own chief operating officer, where the council really has no power over hiring or firing the city manager. And currently, as you know, the manager would have to serve, the mayor would have to serve the manager to council for termination. In the executive form of government, the mayor would be responsible for hiring their own chief operating officer. And in the times of, if the mayor were disabled or could not function as mayor, the mayor would be able to appoint, as in this concept, who they would want to be the successor.
Why now to maybe talk about this change?
I think the discussions regarding subject matters like the selling of our parking system is a good example for me, or the discussion that we had about selling our and some would say transferring our water system to a regional system. You know, those kinds of decisions were being made by the city manager driving that process. And for me, that meant that the people weren't really being represented in that, and that, you know, the mayor at that point or council could have gone back to the manager and said that was the manager's decision, which is what often happens now on big decisions. And then the big discussion we're having around the streetcar, where does the buck stop of whether we should go forward or not go forward on massive projects like that? Also, the big discussion around how do we get inclusion, Jay, in the city. It's one that's constantly happening, and no one really knows where the buck stops. I think the mayor running for re-election at that point, if we spent $600 million and women businesses got, you know, half of 1% of the contracts, we would know exactly who to talk to about that issue.
Now, looking back to the past, the mayors would some say in the past years ago that the mayor was more of a figurehead, where either the top vote getter in the city council race was selected to be the mayor, or the actual members of council selected the mayor. And then I believe it was 1999, voters approved the current system, and that gave the mayor was directly elected to a 4-year term, had the power to veto legislation and appoint council committee chairs, and then also, like you said, to set the council agenda. So that's what brought us to this point where we have the strong mayor.
Right, right. And as the mayor travels around, let's say, Jay, and is in the process of trying to negotiate a deal to recruit a large corporation or small business into the city of Cincinnati, you know, you're competing when you're at the table with other executive mayors around the country, where the buck stops with that mayor, where now the current system requires the mayor to come back and check in with council and on some time-sensitive decisions that have to be made in the global economy that we currently are in. I think it's important for us to continue to evolve to a point where we have a mayor that's an executive mayor where everyone knows, including council, where the buck stops. Then when we get to the hiring and firing of each of the directors, which I think is incredibly important, you know, right now the city manager has the power, as you know, to hire and fire the directors, whether that's the police fire chief or the police chief, as two examples. So as crime spikes or goes down, you know, the citizens, I don't think, are clear on who is responsible for making or abating crime or dealing or fighting with, you know, fighting basic services, like whether it's fire, dealing with brownouts, or dealing with code zeros with the police department. But if you had an executive mayor and the goal was to reduce crime by 50% and that didn't occur, the citizens of Cincinnati would know exactly who to have a discussion with about that.
When we look at our federal government and various state governments, usually you have three branches. You have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. Now, realizing Cincinnati's probably not going to set up its own court system, but your
right.
your proposal would essentially bring the city more in line with what we're familiar with the federal level and the state level, where the governor is sort of the top administrative officer, and that's sort of what the mayor would become.
That is exactly right. It's certainly not foreign to how most and many governments are set up, and as you've indicated, right here in the state of Ohio. And that also gives us a position of strength. So when the governor of Ohio is talking to the mayor of Cincinnati, the governor knows that he or she is talking directly with the decision maker for the city of Cincinnati. And that's important, and it empowers our mayor to go and make decisions and lead the city in a particular direction. So if there were a mandate that came out of an election and the mayor had that mandate, it's much more difficult for the mayor to execute on that mandate with the current structure of government.
Is it too much to simplify to say that with the executive mayor, if this were to go through, that it's sort of essentially you're electing a city manager?
You mean that with it going to an executive mayor?
Right. If we had an executive mayor, is it the same thing? Like I said, if I'm not oversimplifying, that you're electing,
yes,
essentially, instead of
right.
hiring a city manager, you're electing a city manager.
That's correct. That's right. All of the functions of the city manager, for the most part, would reside in the mayor. That's exactly right. And right now, a lot of citizens don't know, and that's a great example, Jay, the power of the city manager. And that person is unelected. So you really have highlighted with that example to the citizens that, you know, you right now they have no access to holding the city manager accountable outside of through the mayor. But by electing an executive mayor, you are electing essentially a city manager. That's right. Who is responsible for running the city and responsible for the good and bad of where the direction that the government is heading.
Now, do you foresee, we were talking about the federal system, the state system, the governors can veto legislation. Would this executive mayor be able, if it were to go through, be able to veto council actions?
My idea and my thoughts and concept would be yes, that the mayor would be able to still with contain or keep veto power, just the way they have it now. Now, the legislative body with six votes would override or neutralize a veto. But, yes, the mayor would retain veto power.
According to the Inquirer article, you were, you know, basing this on models used by other cities. Are there cities that you're looking at where you would say they've got it right and this is what Cincinnati should do?
Yeah, I like, you know, Chicago. You know, it's a high profile. You know, you have situations where, you know, they're facing $18 billion in an unfunded pension He's high crime, you know, 500 murders per year, dealing with a education system that needs tremendous reform. With our current system, it is incredibly difficult to reform and do what the mayor of Chicago has to do. So as we are trying to deal with our own unfunded liability, which is around $1 billion here in the city of Cincinnati, or we're trying to decide whether the right direction is to continue to build a second leg of the streetcar, having an executive mayor would bring clarity on what direction the city would go in. So, yeah, I think Chicago right now is a great example of the kind of system.
Someone tweeted, did you complain that you thought Mallory, when he was mayor, had too much power?
I was very frustrated about a lot of things that in serving under Mayor Mallory. Part of that frustration was his use of the pocket veto.
And before we go too far, describe what that pocket veto, give us a description.
So a member of council like myself would introduce legislation to council, and under the current system, the mayor has full power of referral of that motion. And full power means he never or she never has there's no incentive, or the mayor has the full power to never refer the motion. So if the mayor disagreed, which oftentimes with my office, he disagreed with my legislative motions that were coming forward, he pocket vetoed like 99% of every motion that I introduced. So simply by not putting it on the agenda, he sunsetted that legislation at the end of each election cycle. So yes, it is true that I was very critical of what I consider the abuse of the former mayor and the use of the pocket veto. And one of the reasons why I really think citizens should entertain an executive mayor and pulling the mayor completely out of the legislative process.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking with Councilmember Christopher Smitherman, who's exploring the idea of bringing an executive mayor system to the city. If you have a question, 513-419-7100. Can you tell me where you are in this process? Obviously, this would have to be a charter amendment. Voters would have to approve it. So is it to the point, are you ready to start, you know, drafting a charter amendment? Is this something that's going to be, you're going to aim to put on the ballot this year, next year? What's sort of your timeline and process here?
So one of the things I need to do is start talking, like you and I are having now, with like-minded citizens who are interested in, an executive form of government for the city of Cincinnati. So right now I would say I'm more in the coalition building stage and preparing for a petition drive to place the issue on the ballot. I don't think realistically, Jay, there are the votes on council to place this issue on the ballot. I just don't think, like, for example, council placed 4-year terms on the ballot a year ago. I don't believe those votes are there for that to happen. So right now I'm in the education stage, educating citizens like this interview, and then identifying organizations and people who might be interested in an executive mayor form of government, and most likely going out and beginning the process, which our teams have been incredibly effective in placing issues on the ballot.
Now, I know when Councilmember Quinlivan was, former Councilmember Quinlivan was talking about the 4-year terms, at that time, you said that you thought that anything like that should go through the petition process. Now, have you sort of changed your mind that if you could get 6 votes from council, you would let them put it on the ballot?
Probably not, Jay. And, you know, what I'd like to do with a process is allow my colleagues who want to have input. Councilmember Kevin Flynn, for example, has said he's interested in having input. I'm trying to put together a transparent process for the citizens of Cincinnati and for my colleagues that allows them to have input in the process, those who want to have input. But, you know, at the end of the day, as I stated earlier, I'm pretty confident that the coalition building stage and then picking up, you know, essentially clipboards and going out and collecting the 5,500 or 6,000 signatures to place the issue on the ballot is where we're going to go.
Let's get a phone call in here real quickly before we run out of time here. Chris is calling from downtown. Go ahead.
Hi. Do I understand you just said that you don't like the pocket veto, but you want to give your strong mayor, his new mayor position, a veto? Is that?
Yeah.
There is a difference between a pocket veto and a veto.
Right. So what the pocket veto does is the pocket veto never allows for the legislation to reach the floor for discussion. What the veto power for the mayor does is the legislative body and the motion was discussed, debated, and passed by 5-4, and the mayor disagrees and then vetoes it. If it passes 6-3, then the mayor would be neutralized from any veto power. The pocket veto, there is no check and balance on the pocket veto currently. If the mayor disagrees with the legislation, he or she has no power, or he or she can continue, to keep that legislative issue off of the agenda indefinitely.
All right. Well, certainly it's a conversation that we'll be watching. I've been talking with Councilmember Christopher Smitherman about his proposal for an executive mayor for the city to replace the current strong mayor system. Councilmember, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Jay.
Coming up after the break, I'll be talking with Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley about his first 5 months in office. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.